Then ends September 23rd. Ulta Beauty. All things beauty, all in one place.
By the power invested in me in the Heenan School of Broadcasting, I dedicate today's program to all of us, the Ham and Eggers of the world.
I got it! Fine. Let me have it! I got it! Fine. Let me have it! I got it!
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Bromelcamp Show.
Why is it that people continue in the coliseums, the arenas, the auditoriums around the World Wrestling Federation, they persist in calling you weasel?
Because guys like you keep bringing it up. I get a letter the other day.
Dear Mr. Weasel, is that...
No, it didn't start like that.
I saw one that was like that.
Yeah, it was probably in your handwriting.
Rest in peace, Bobby Heenan. Welcome in. It is 4:05 and the Todd Bromelcamp Show is back for another week. It is, I know, a minor miracle. Trust me. I'm reminded of myself every day when I look in the mirror and go through my daily affirmations, just like Stuart Smalley on SNL back in the day. Alex is along for the ride, as is Kyle, our producer on the other side of the glass. Great show for you today. Of course, an entire weekend of college and NFL football to talk about. The Cubs not only broke out the brooms, but maybe even a shovel or two for the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. John Walters will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about Iowa State's win on the road over Akron. They've got 10 days now to prepare for the Texas Longhorns at Jack Trice Stadium. Jesse Rogers of ESPN.com and ESPN Chicago set to join the program today at 5 o'clock. We will talk about the National League Central leading Cubs, fresh off that sweep of the Redbirds over the weekend. And John Bonenkamp, my pal from the Burlington Hawkeye, is going to hop on at 5:30. We'll recap Iowa's win over North Texas Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. Told you it wasn't going to come easy. Not that 21.5-point spread in Las Vegas. More baseball and football talk to come today as well, including perhaps some news of consequence to those of you who play fantasy football with regards to a certain New York Giants wide receiver who I'm guessing some of you may need him to play tonight in order to win your matchups. We've got that game for you here on KGYM. We'll tell you all about it coming up in hour number three. What's up, Alex? How was your weekend? Big win for your brother's team.
It was a great weekend, and I think that made the weekend one of those weekends you don't want to end, but here we are on a Monday, and I thought it was a fun weekend in college football in general, and like you said, some good NFL action. But there are, I think we saw some seats heating up for coaches around college football this weekend, and one of them happens to be in the Big Ten West.
Yeah, and that's the poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Will Mike Riley still be coaching the Nebraska Cornhuskers when they are set to meet Iowa on Black Friday this year? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway's on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Nebraska suffering what can only be described as a disturbing home loss to the Northern Illinois Huskies over the weekend. And I could not get enough of that. The gif of the Husky dog high-fiving from several years ago. It was nice to see that turned back into circulation on Twitter over the weekend. You can tweet us at Todd Bromelcamp, at KGYM Radio. Alex is at AlexCoon523. That Nebraska situation, and we're going to touch on that at some point today, is not pretty. And it's not good for the Big Ten, it's not good for the Big Ten West, and it's certainly not good for Nebraska. Now, Iowa, just a little while after Nebraska lost at home to Northern Illinois, had its hands full with North Texas. And that was an okay Conference USA team that Seth Littrell brought north from Denton over the weekend. And Jeffrey Wilson was just as good as advertised at running back. They made some plays. They tested the Hawkeyes. And I think back-to-back games now, going back to Ames 2 weeks ago and the North Texas game on Saturday, Iowa's defense is good, but there's an Achilles heel here or there that if you hit them at just the right opportunity, at just the right spot, then everything kind of crumples and everything goes to hell.
Kirk talked about it before the season, the questions about the secondary. He talked about the youth on the outside. And these last two teams, North Texas and Iowa State, have given them some trouble on the perimeter. And today on the depth chart, it was released that Amani Hooker has taken over at the free safety position, as he was number one on the depth chart. So already some changes on the back end, and it's not going to get any easier as Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley and Mike Gesicki come to town, and a top five opponent on Saturday night. And like you said on Saturday, Todd, the Iowa Hawkeyes are going to need a much better performance than they had last week in order to come out victorious against a very, very good Penn State team.
Isn't it funny how fleeting fame and fortune is in college football? Jake Gervais is a guy who people were just raving about in the spring, and Jake Gervais is going to be the next guy, and he's been passed up on the depth chart. He was passed up halfway through that game. Now, Kirk on Saturday called it a change-up. But I think it's pretty much in the repertoire from now on, and we'll see moving forward what the revamped depth chart looks like defensively. But you're absolutely right. Iowa is in for a big test this weekend against number 4 Penn State. Hey, they've beaten a number 3 Penn State team. They've beaten a number 5 Penn State team. I know for all of you out there who believe in omens, 3 and 5, what comes in between? Well, Penn State's number 4 this week. We'll wait and see. They're going to do it, if they do it, without James Butler. That was the bad news. Sounds like he's going to be out till at least Iowa's bye week. So five weeks at a minimum without James Butler. They're targeting the Northwestern game, which would be late October, for a possible return. He came off the field right by me on Saturday afternoon. He had his right elbow in Saran wrap, to the point it was immobilized. And I'm no expert on body language, but his body language was not very good, to the point where some of us were wondering, is this going to be a season-ending injury? Now, I think they're maybe being a little optimistic here, but they want to get him back on the field for a little bit this year. That would really be unfortunate as far as losses go for them, because here's a kid who transfers in his final year, and people are expecting big things along with him and Akram Wadley. Now, Akram got hurt too, and that was not a major injury, at least according to Kirk Ferentz. We'll learn more tomorrow in Iowa City. What did you think of the Hawkeyes' performance against North Texas on Saturday? 319-366-1600. Hawkeyes escaping North Texas and almost covering the 21.5. I was on the sidelines next to a couple people who shall remain nameless because I don't ever want to make them guilty by associating with me. And we're sitting there, they're standing there, pardon me, and the last score happens. And I said, oh God, here's what's going to happen for people in Las Vegas. There's about a minute 47 left. North Texas is going to try to throw the ball. And I go, it's a pick six, and that's going to be the backdoor cover. Anybody who had money on the game, the spread was 21.5. That's where Iowa is going to wind up covering the number and maybe costing some people some money. Well, what happens? North Texas throws the ball, interception, and instead of just taking knees and running things out, rightfully so, Iowa wants to give Tyler Wiegers some reps. So they put him in, and they run some plays with the number twos in there, which, by the way, did include Tristan Wirfs. The red shirt is off. And, uh-oh, they're getting down toward the goal line. And I'm telling you, there were people who had money on that game, either North Texas or Iowa, that are watching the final seconds of that game going, what are they going to do on that final play? And they go out in victory formation, and I turned to the guy that I was next to me, and I said, see, that's why I don't gamble anymore, because you would have thought, no, the game's over. It's in hand. And then they just move the ball. And Kirk Ferentz has had that mentality before in the past when they've gone up against teams where you run the ball, and it's respecting your opponent, because it's not taking a knee at the 30 or the 40. You run the ball. You let them play football. And unfortunately, on North Texas's last defensive stand there, they weren't tackling very well, and they made that ending a lot more interesting to those of you who were degenerates and had money on the game. 319-366-1600. We got a full phone bank here right now. Alex, help me out here. Who's been waiting the longest?
Let's start with Bob in Cedar Falls. Bob, go ahead.
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, yeah, I was at the game Saturday, which you were, and it was like I never thought the first half was ever going to get over based off of our fine officiating crew we had there. But I wanted to, and, you know, they didn't run the replay, and then I DVR'd the game and watched it last night, and I don't know. I'm totally still, to this moment, dumbfounded on the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Akram. And I know the rule, but I'm watching that over and over again, and I don't even see how that official can come up with that call. And that one, it just blows my mind. And the other thing that blows my mind is that, you know, you were talking about going into the victory formation, which I'm so glad we have a coach, Kurt Ferentz, that would kind of do something like that than the James Franklin, who's going to ice the kicker with 11 seconds to go in the game to preserve a 56-point shutout. So that's all I got to say. I'll hang up and listen.
No problem. Appreciate the phone call there, Bob. Look, and we'll get into the Akram stuff, too, and the call, which I know a lot of people have opinions on. It's in the rule book. The referees were within their rights and duties to call that. But when you look back at it, you go, maybe if you had 10 officiating crews on the field, 9 of them don't flag that. And then you think, man, what's the rule here? Should it be 10 or 15 yards on the kickoff after the how do you wipe the touchdown off the board for something that you could probably very easily penalize Iowa for after the fact? But no, it comes back off the board. And that's just the first couple Iowa drives. They're completely screwy. They easily fumble. And you had that idea that it was going to be a very bizarre day. Let's head to Johnson County and bring Steve on board. Steve, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to give you a jingle. I don't know. I have a perspective that number one, I don't think Penn State has played any competition, and it's easy to run up the score on competition that isn't very good, and I think that the Hawkeyes have had a tougher schedule, and I wouldn't give up on the Hawks. I think they've got a pretty good chance. They play well at home and at night, and Kirk could have tied the. He took a knee. He had him take a knee on that last touchdown, and then the first half. I kind of agree with the other caller that the officials kept everybody off timing.
Steve, we appreciate the phone call. Penn State, for reference, has played Akron. That's the same team that Iowa State went on the road and beat this past weekend. They beat Akron 52-0 in week one. They beat Pitt 33-14. That's a rivalry game for those two schools. And then last weekend, 56-0 against Georgia State. Here's your million-dollar check or whatever it is that you get paid. Come up and take a whooping, and thanks for coming. They haven't necessarily played a murderer's row. But, Alex, we've been talking about Penn State since Big Ten Media Day. They've got a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender in Saquon Barkley. They've got a very good defensive unit. Joe Moorhead is one of the best offensive coordinators that the Big Ten has going for it right now. This is a really good team, Penn State. I don't think anybody, by the way, is giving up on the Hawkeyes. But what people are saying and what I'm sitting here saying is, Penn State's a pretty good football team. Now, Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes, they know that. But stranger, and look, Steve points out, stranger things have happened before. We've seen, as I mentioned, some very good Penn State teams come to Iowa City and not leave with a win. I don't think any of those teams were coached by James Franklin, though.
No, this will be the best offensive team that Iowa plays all year. And Ohio State is number two, and it's a pretty big separation right now between Penn State and Ohio State. You mentioned Saquon Barkley. You talk about Trace McSorley. Joe Moorhead. This is a very explosive team, and they exploit the things that Iowa doesn't defend very well. They have a lot of speed, and they have a lot of guys that are very difficult to bring down in space, which is something Iowa struggled with the last 2 weeks. So I think it's a tough matchup for the Hawkeyes, but I'm not writing them off. 12.5 points at home seems like a little bit of a steep line right now, as the Penn State Nittany Lions are 12.5 point favorites on the road. But this is a very good team, and I'm not ready to write off Iowa, but they're going to have to play a very, very good game to win. I will say that.
Now, we mentioned Nebraska at the start of the program. It's 420. They had a rough go of it over the weekend. Larry the Cable Guy, very sad on Twitter. It's very unfortunate. If you've listened to the program in the past, here in the afternoon, you know that there's a radio program based out of Nebraska that we occasionally, and I say we, I don't want to make anybody else here guilty of this. This is entirely my self-indulgence. But we met these characters at Big Ten Media Day a couple years ago in Chicago, and I've tried to have a little fun with them ever since. Later on in the program today, because I was curious, how is this playing? How is Nebraska, oh mighty football power Nebraska, losing at home to a MAC school? How is that playing in the heart of Husker country? So I listened to the radio station, the Superstation in the Tri-Cities earlier today. Their podcast is available online. And I could not believe what I heard. And that's all I'm going to say, because later on, this checking in with Doug and Daddy is going to blow your mind.
The best one yet?
I think it's the best one yet, because never in a million years would you catch me doing what happened on that program today. And you know where my standards are as a broadcaster. They are extremely low. Never in a million years. Let's head back to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. Enough about the Huskers. Let's bring in Darren here in Cedar Rapids. Darren, what's up?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, I know you're singing Penn State's praises and everything like that. You tell me one team they played that's better than Iowa State this year so far.
Pittsburgh?
See, I haven't seen enough of Pitt to even say that. Iowa State's a good football team.
What's Pitt's record, fellas?
They're 2-1 on the season. Thanks. Or,
two and
no,
one?
Or 1-2.
1-2.
1-2, correct. They played Oklahoma
and
State.
And I watched them, and they're not that good. Okay. Tell me Pittsburgh's definitely not better than Wyoming. So you tell me the other two that Penn State has played.
Yeah, but
Georgia State, D1, but it's FBS or SCS, whatever it is. You know,
I understand where you're coming from.
They kicked their butts 56-0.
I understand where you're coming from, Darren, but the transitive property thing, it doesn't work. And that's why they're going to play the game Saturday at 6:30.
Oh, absolutely.
But
one thing I do have to say, though, is what do they got for receivers for speed? Penn State. Nothing jumps off the chat, does it?
Thanks for the phone call, Darren. They have an All-American tight end. They have a very good running back. And this is a team that won the Big Ten last year. So
depending on what Barkley does, they may not need to throw the ball a ton.
And they lost Chris Godwin, which was a big loss. But I do think Penn State is one of the better teams that Iowa will play this season.
We go through this all the time.
The first three games of the year, yes, they haven't played a very good team. They played Pitt. They beat Pitt, who got destroyed by Oklahoma State this past week, and I get that. But I don't understand why we're trying to sell Penn State short.
We go through this all the time, and it's part of the mentality, and I get it. And it's convincing when you play the role of David and you're going up against Goliath, you got to convince yourself of everything along the way. I get it. And as I've said before, I have acknowledged that we've seen two very good Penn State football teams in the last, 10 years come to Iowa City, both with top five rankings, and lose. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
And when you mentioned the Vegas point spread, 12 points may seem like a ton, but that's given Iowa a puncher's chance there, which is the whole point of a point spread to begin with. I'll be interested to see how this plays out, but having seen a little bit of Penn State, it doesn't matter whether the competition is inferior or not. They've looked good. Now, this is going to be, and I think James Franklin will say the same thing this week. Tomorrow is the Big Ten teleconference, so we'll hear from him. This is going to be their biggest test this year because this Iowa team is better than Pitt, and Pitt is the strongest team that they've played on their schedule this year. So no one is arguing that. But to sit here and to try to throw stones and at Penn State, this is a good football team that's coming to Kinnick Stadium Saturday night.
A legitimate top five team in the country.
Apparently not good enough for game day to come. They're going to set up shop in New York City. But that's why, and I've said this before, that's why they will play the game Saturday. It doesn't matter what I'm sitting here saying. It doesn't matter what Las Vegas says. They're going to play the game Saturday at 6:30, and the whole world is going to see. Now, this also has to go back to, I think, fans want revenge for last year because that was a humiliating loss. I mean, that was a gut check last year, what Penn State did to Iowa. That was, we are way better than you, and we're not going to take any mercy on you. And it didn't. It obviously has left a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of people because that's why they're trying to chop down Penn State a little bit here.
I mean, you remember last year Saquon Barkley called the Iowa defense out.
Called them soft, right?
He said that they quit.
Or that they quit, yes.
He called them quitters after that game against Penn State. So yes, I think there's a huge revenge factor here for Iowa, but this is very much the same team, if not a little bit better than what we saw last year in Penn State, another year under Joe Moorhead. They lost Chris Godwin. This is still a very good team, and what they did to Iowa, it's almost the same team that they had last year. So like I said, Iowa, I'm not saying that Iowa can't win this game. I'm saying that Penn State is a legit top five team. Their ranking is not a lie.
99-84, Darren wants to fight. 39-48 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. This dude sounds angry. And 56-80 pointing out that, look, Iowa's non-conference schedule hasn't exactly been great shakes either.
And yes, I think Pitt is a better team than Wyoming.
And at 29-22, P.S., screw game day. Yeah. They didn't want to come. It's going to be a big game, and there's not a whole lot on the schedule this weekend, but they want to go to New York City. Fine by me. 428. This is the best-kept secret. I don't want people to know how great Iowa is because then they're going to want to all move here and live here. So let's just keep those folks from Bristol out of New York City, and we'll sit here with our tenderloins and our corn on the cob and all. Oh, no, I mentioned farming. Here come the complaints. 319-366-1600. 428, we will step aside, take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have his first big board update of the day. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, coming your way on KGYM. Back with more after this.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free one-year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualified new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Welcome back in. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa beat North Texas 31-14 on Saturday, but not without some bumps and bruises along the way, most notably James Butler, who Kirk Ferentz said will be out for at least about a month. Butler suffered what appeared to be, in the best-case scenario, a hyperextended right elbow, and the first game Hawkeye fans may see him return is at Northwestern on October 21st. Ferentz said he expected everyone else, including Akron Wiley, to be back and healthy by midweek. Iowa's September 30th game with Michigan State was picked up by Fox today and flexed to 3 o'clock. Matchup and network alike, it'll be a rematch of the 2015 Big Ten title game and the first time the teams have met since. The game this weekend is going to be the 7th annual American Needs Farmers game, and Iowa Athletics has partnered with the Iowa Farm Bureau to announce that Chad Greenway will be this year's addition to the Wall of Honor. Greenway played at Iowa from 2002 to 2005 and with the Vikings until 2016. Iowa State got a commitment from 6'5", 2018 receiver Sean Shaw Jr. this afternoon. 24/7 Sports grades him as a three-star and the eighth-best prospect from the state of Oklahoma. You can catch the Iowa baseball team in an exhibition prior to the Iowa-Penn State nightcap at Kinnick. They'll be hosting the Ontario Blue Jays beginning at 11 and playing until 4 o'clock. Admission will be free. After the show tonight on 1600 AM, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show. And on the North and South Gym FM frequencies, it'll be Monday Night Football with the Lions and Giants.
Did you hear that, Sonny? The Ontario Blue Jays are coming to town. Wrap yourself in the Maple Leaf flag and head on out to Duane Banks Field. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, coming up with us just at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about their win over Akron.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Be an app. The Ryan Russillo Show.
I think there are guys that have coordinator face, and there are guys that are head coaches. Sometimes coordinator face gets to be a head coach. You know who's a head coach who has coordinator face? It's Doug Peterson with the Eagles. I look at him, and I think coordinator, hair, visor. Bill Polian with us. Your assessment of my theory is
insane.
Moving on.
The Ryan Russillo Show. Weekdays at 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. At this hour, the Colts will be without quarterback Andrew Luck for a third straight week. He's out on Sunday. Coach Chuck Pagano said he's not sure when Luck would begin practicing. Luck is making his way back from off-season shoulder surgery. Jacoby Brissett starts at QB for Indy this week. The status of Giants receiver Odell Beckham Jr. up in the air for Monday Night Football because of an ankle injury, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Giants starting middle linebacker B.J. Goodson's out. Calvin Munson expected to start in his place. Monday Night Football, 8 Eastern, ESPN. Falcons linebacker Vic Beasley, slight hamstring tear, expected to miss a month. Panthers tight end Greg Olsen expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks after foot surgery. Broncos coach Vance Joseph told Origin Blue 760, tackle Garrett Bowles has a bone bruise to his lower left leg, and he is week to week. A U.S. District Court judge in Texas denied the NFL's motion for an emergency stay of an injunction that's allowing Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott to continue to play while his six-game suspension for violating the personal conduct policy works its way through the courts. So today's ruling means that Elliott can continue to play.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. Most of you are aware that we have really amazing lease and finance specials going on right now on most of our new Toyotas or outstanding cash back options. It's the perfect time for you to come see us and check out the options and all the details. However, many of you may not be fully aware of our fantastic Toyota Certified Used Vehicle Program, which includes 12 months or 12,000 miles of comprehensive warranty, 7 years of limited powertrain warranty, and 1 year of roadside assistance. These vehicles must also pass a 160-point inspection before they can be certified. Also, all used vehicles we sell here at Toyota of Iowa City come with free oil changes and tire rotations for 2 full years with no mileage restrictions. So if you're in the market for a new Toyota or for a really dependable used vehicle, Toyota of Iowa City has got you covered. Come on in and get all the details at Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1 right off 218 in Iowa City.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The Cedar Rapids Parks and Recreation Department proudly supports sports for preschool through high school students, with programs and facilities serving thousands of kids each year. This fall, take in the beauty of the season at a Cedar Rapids golf course. During September, you can play from 7 a.m. until dusk, and in October from 8 a.m. until dusk. And that's at all 4 Cedar Rapids golf courses, Twin Pines, Ellis, Jones, and Gardner. See special fall rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
Look at your hands. What have they been doing lately? Being softly conditioned by life indoors? Or are they the restless instruments of change? At Valvoline, we believe in hands-on innovation. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit Advance Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
4:36, and welcome back in. The show continuing until 7 o'clock tonight. Sports Illustrated, as if on cue, has an article on its college football website, Undefeated but Unproven, 5 top teams still waiting for their first test. And who is in the graphic but Saquon Barkley of Penn State. Another Big Ten team on that list, Michigan as well. And look, we're going to get into
the eyeball test mean nothing. We'll get into this later.
We are going to get into the heart of Big Ten play soon enough, and the cream will rise to the top. And that's all I will say. But you can tell a good-looking football team when you lay your eyes on them.
Bingo.
And 2 weeks ago in Ames, I thought I saw the makings of what eventually will be a pretty good football team. Iowa State able to go on the road this weekend to Akron and survive the lack of atmosphere, to put it nicely, and come away with a very nice win. Now their reward is 10 days to prepare for Tom Herman and the Texas Longhorns. Here now to discuss last weekend's win and what lies ahead for the Cyclones, John Walters, play-by-play voice for Iowa State, brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. John, big win for the Cyclones over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a good win. I think they, kind of went in there with a business trip mentality and took care of business. And it wasn't always pretty, but got the job done, and that's all that matters. And, they've still got a lot of room for improvement, which is what's really exciting about this football team. I think there's some things where they've just kind of scratched the surface and hopefully can continue to get better and better. But I like what I see so far. I think this is a good football team and has a chance to get even better.
John, Matt Campbell at his post-game press conference was not overly excited with what he saw on Saturday. What were some of the things that bothered him?
Well, I think lack of execution at times. You know, there was some lulls there in the game where Iowa State didn't play particularly well, especially in the second quarter. Some drop balls on offense by the receivers. Defensively, they didn't miss a lot of tackles, which was good. That had been a problem against Iowa, but I think they tackled much better. But, still gave up some stuff with the short passing game that they need to get corrected. But overall, I think that people look and they see teams are being able to pass the ball pretty effectively against Iowa State at this point. But I think the corners are being asked to do more than they were a year ago. Iowa State's playing a lot more press coverage. There's a lot more trust being put in the hands of those guys. And so as they adapt, and I think that you're seeing a pretty good push from that front seven, especially the front four, they're able to get a push and get in there and cause some disruption in the backfield. You've seen Iowa State get ahead of the chains, you know, defensively on opponents quite a bit. And so I think some of those other things will kind of just pick up if that continues. And that's an area that that was a weakness last week where they did give up the passing game for stretches. But they got it corrected and had created three turnovers. And I think there were more positives than negatives. But, you know, he sees it a little bit differently, obviously, than I do, and it's his job to critique it and make sure that their detail, as he calls it, is what he wants. And he just knows there's a lot of room for improvement with this football team, and they're going to have to be better because you can't rely on a poor opponent, which is basically what Iowa State faced last week, making mistakes and being undisciplined and, you know, keeping drives alive with penalties and things of that nature. It's, you know, if you're relying on that stuff, you're in trouble. And I think that's probably his point.
Is it refreshing, and not necessarily refreshing, but nice to have a head coach that doesn't sugarcoat things? And how much of this is just trying to get the attention of his team and saying, guys, if we play one half of football in the Big 12, like he said, it could be a long year. They have to play 60 minutes to be able to compete in conference play.
Yeah, it is refreshing. And, you know, I think nobody plays a perfect 60 minutes. Nobody does. And you're going to make mistakes. And the key is to limit your mistakes and not repeat them over and over and over throughout a game. You know, if you can get them nipped in the bud, as Barney Fife would say, then that's a good thing, you know. And, you know, I think that's what he's looking at is, you know, Let's not keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Let's get them corrected. But they are correctable things, in his opinion. And, you know, he sees what the potential is for this program and this team. And he's not going to set the bar low for these guys. He's talked all offseason about raising the standard, and that's what he's doing. The standard is higher, and the expectations are higher, and he's not going to be pleased until they kind of meet those standards.
Texas next on the horizon, 10 days to prepare for the Longhorns and Tom Herman. How do you see Matt Campbell and his staff going about that approach?
Well, I think the first thing is they're going to be, and I'm sure they've already looked at it, but very impressed when they watch Texas defensively with the way they looked against USC. I thought they were outstanding and really quick, flying around and forcing USC to rush things a little bit offensively, which you're talking about a veteran quarterback and a really good offense, and they were able to get them out of sorts. And so I was really impressed by Texas the other night, and especially defensively. But I think offensively they've got some things too, especially if Bushell comes back and is able to play. They're a scary football team. They have a lot of talent. They always have, but they're starting to get it figured out, and they're playing with a pace and a tempo that I haven't seen him play with in several years. So, you know, this is an important game for Iowa State. It's on your home field, facing a good team, one that's probably going to be favored. But I think Iowa State needs to raise its level of play, and I think they're capable of that. But if they do, this could be a really wild one on a Thursday night. I think it's going to be a fun game and a great environment. And hopefully you'll see kind of what we saw with that Iowa State-Iowa game in terms of two teams really playing well, and hopefully this time Iowa State finds a way to make a few more plays and get a win.
Are you hoping, or would you wish that you got a dollar for every time Tom Herman's name is going to be mentioned in the next 10 days? Because I think you and I would probably both be rich.
I might be able to retire if that was the case. Yeah, it's going to get mentioned a lot, and no, I like Tom. I enjoyed his time at Iowa State. He was good to get to know and a very intelligent guy. And I'll credit him for this, man. He had that Texas team flying around last week. I mean, they were really flying around, and he had them with a what-do-we-have-to-lose mentality going into a place where I think a lot of people expected them, especially with the true freshman quarterback making his first start, to really get blown out of the place, and they didn't. It was a great football game. So he's getting it figured out, and you know, he's a guy that once he gets something figured out, he's pretty doggone good. They're going to be a force. They're going to be back at the top of this league with Oklahoma very, very soon. And maybe not this year, but in the near future, he's going to have them back up there every year, contending for the conference championship. So it'll be interesting to watch how quickly they develop, especially offensively. But, man, right now their defense scares me.
Did you see this coming when he was in Ames? Could you just tell that sooner or later, and emphasis on the sooner, that this guy was going to be a successful head coach?
Yeah, I think most people expected that at some point he would get that opportunity. He was a very young offensive coordinator coming from Rice to Iowa State, you know, and then obviously left to go become the offensive coordinator at Ohio State under Urban Meyer. But I don't know if anybody knew he'd be this good, this young, this quickly, and to, you know, to have accomplished what he did at Houston was really pretty amazing, and he did it very quickly. But, you know, he's got an engaging personality. He's a good recruiter, a great recruiter, and also knows his X's and O's very well. And so not totally surprised, but he has done it, I think, a little bit quicker than most people would have expected.
John, how much improvement have we seen from the offensive line in 2017 than what we saw in 2016 from that unit?
A lot of improvement. I think they were at a better starting point than they were last year, which is a big thing. They were at a really rough starting point last year, and it took a while to get it all sorted out. And then once they did, they had some injuries, and it, you know, it was a much better offensive line by the end of last season than it was at the start of last season. This year's offensive line, I think, will continue to get better every week, but they were at a much better starting point. And their pass protection's been really good. Their run blocking's been okay. It hasn't been great. David Montgomery's gotten a lot of those yards on his own by making people miss. He's made more people miss than any other running back in college football. So, you know, I think David's done a lot of that kind of on his own, if you will, but they have opened some good holes, and I think that will be the area that you'll see the most improvement as the season goes on. And you really have to give some credit, too, to Jacob Park for the fact that he gets rid of the ball really quickly. And the threat that he can throw it anywhere on the field, I think, keeps teams from loading up too much. But he'll be tested, and that offensive line will be tested against Texas. The one game last year where Iowa State just was, it was completely a mismatch up front when you got into conference play was the Texas game. They completely dominated up front against Iowa State's offensive line. And so they have some amazing athletes, and Iowa State's going to have to really improve over the next 10 days up front to be ready for that challenge.
John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joining us. 2-1 in the non-conference portion of the schedule, the Big 12 on the horizon. What did we learn about this team through the first three games of the season?
I think the biggest thing is that the defensive line is vastly improved over a year ago. And I think he could throw the linebackers into that, too. Joel Lanning is starting to play much better. Willie Harvey's been making plays. He really seems to take well to that Sam linebacker spot. And Marcel Spears has been good. But up front, the difference that Ray Lima and Vernell Trent are making, Vernell Trent is maybe the biggest surprise on this team to me, because he is he was just kind of a guy in the past, you know, and now he's become the guy along with Ray Lima in there that is really disrupting a lot of plays and getting into that backfield and wreaking havoc and forcing plays outside. And, you know, Akron had a very good running back in Warren Ball who wasn't very effective at all running the football. They really couldn't get any kind of a ground game established. And so much of that, even though these guys don't get credited for the tackles, had to do with Ray Lima and Vernell Trent and the development as it continues of Kamilo Tongamoa. So to me, that's been the biggest surprise, has been just how good that defensive line has been. And what's fun about it is to think how much better they can be, because there's a lot of room for growth there too.
Now, I know the time off will do Kamari Cottonmoy and DeAndre Payne some good, them nursing injuries, but what are your thoughts on the bye week coming before Big 12 play this season?
You know, I kind of like the way it breaks up the schedule. I mean, you have a 10-day opportunity to get ready for a Thursday night game. And, you know, if you're going to play a Thursday night game, you almost have to do it this way. You have the bye before the Thursday night game, and then you've got the, you know, 9 days to prepare for the next game. So I love the fact that it fell where it did, specifically if you're going to have a Thursday night game. But I like the fact that it broke up non-conference and conference play, too, because I think Matt Campbell really got his team's attention after that Akron game. that they are going to have to raise their level of play a lot if they're going to go win games in the Big 12. So they've got, you know, a pretty decent chunk of time here to work on that, to try to fix some of their own stuff, and then to really get ready for a talented Texas team. So I think it's good, and I think you'll see an improved Iowa State team take the field a week from Thursday.
Now, if I've got this right, I feel like, spoiler alert here, because I've read ahead on your Twitter timeline, there is a sideline show tonight. You've got Jamie Pollard and Matt Campbell, but there will not be a sideline show next week because of the Thursday night game, correct?
That's correct. Yep. Because on the coach's clock, if you're playing on Thursday, then that is Saturday, and so Monday is Wednesday, and so next Monday isn't going to work for a call-in show. So we're going to do one this week when things are a little bit more quiet. And so, we'll have a show tonight, and then we will not have one next Monday.
All right. We'll have it right here on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, the Cyclone Sideline Show with John Walters from the Applebee's in Ames tonight. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
John's appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. Cyclones, 10 days now to gear up for the Longhorns, how would you describe the Texas-USC game? Now, if BJ and Marion is listening right now, he may want to plug his ears.
I thought Texas did a really good job.
Don't ever tell him to turn the radio off or down. Just say plug your ears.
Of confusing USC. USC's offense did not look very good. I think Texas had a lot to do with it, but it was somewhat of a pedestrian offensive performance from both sides through about 3.5 quarters, and then things hit the fan there in the fourth quarter and then overtime. It was a fun game and a fun ending to the game.
Send lawyers, guns, and money, the old Warren Zevon song. Did that hit the fan? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what hit the fan.
I'll assume you're familiar with the lyrics. Speaking of BJ and Marion, I don't want to build this up into something that it's not, because I'm building it up into something that it actually truly is. But I'm using the Chris Harrison line from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. This is the most shocking checking in with Doug and Daddy that we will have ever done on this program. You are not going to want to miss it later tonight. I'm trying to figure out where we're going to shoehorn this in. We got Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago joining us at the top of the hour to talk about the Cubs perhaps burying the Cardinals over the weekend. The numbers are not good. Well, Alex, I'm trying to be an optimist here. I'm trying to be a glass half full guy here for you.
I'm going to say glass completely empty.
Cardinals 4-11 against the Cubs this year.
1-8 at Wrigley.
1-8 at Wrigley.
My friends, is not going to get it done.
1-6 in one-run games, and since July of 2015, the Cubs and Cardinals have played 48 times. The Cardinals have lost 30 of those 48 games. These two, they still have another series left at Busch Stadium.
They were able to stick around last year because they were competitive in the season series with the Cubs. I think they had a one-game advantage. That's been the difference this year. They have not been able to beat the Northsiders.
4:53, Cubs-Cardinals talk on the way. We'll also talk more Hawkeyes with John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye coming up at 5:30 today as well. College football talk. Monday night football, will Odell Beckham Jr. play? Will he not? And just a reminder, no one cares about your fantasy football team. Not even us. And we have a fantasy football team of our own. 4:53, we'll step aside and take a quick break. When we return, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. More on the way after this.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant, and I gave one to this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4, made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
I love going to football games. I'm Randy Moss, but I hate tracking down tickets.
That's why your man Charles Woodson has got you covered.
Nobody can cover me, Charles.
I meant I can get us tickets easily with Vivid Seats. Millions of tickets, all guaranteed.
Guaranteed, like Randy Moss finding the end zone.
If the end zone is where you want to sit, those are the tickets we'll get. Now, how do you want to pay me?
Charles, you already know. Straight cash, homie. Find your seats at Vivid Seats.
See guarantee terms at Vivid Seats.
Oh, 4:55. Welcome back. It is the Todd Bromwell Camp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann, who's readying his next Midwest One bat. I'm sorry, I saw Kyle's T-shirt, and I got distracted. It's my all-time favorite Cubs logo.
It's a great logo.
Absolutely love the mid-80s Cubby Bear that they used to have on the sleeves. Makes me think of Keith Moreland, Bobby Dernier, all those great Cubs.
Glenn Allen Hill.
No, that's a little post. Glenn Allen Hill was with the Cubs when they had the Team Cuba uniforms, which I was not a fan of the Cubs in the script. Glenn Allen Hill, who put a ball on top of one of the rooftops across from Wrigley Field, one of my favorite highlights of all time. Kyle is here for with the express intent of bringing you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where even Glenn Allen Hill would be the one.
Iowa beat North Texas 31-14 on Saturday, but not without some bumps and bruises along the way, most notably to James Butler, who Kirk Ferentz said will be out for at least about a month. Butler suffered what appeared to be, in the best-case scenario, a hyperextended right elbow, and the first game Hawkeye fans may see him return is at Northwestern on October 21st. Ferentz said he expected everybody else, including Akram Wadley, to be back and healthy by midweek. Iowa's September 30th game with Michigan State was picked up by Fox today and flexed to 3 o'clock. Matchup and network alike, it'll be a rematch of the 2015 Big Ten title game and the first time the teams have met since. The game this weekend is going to be the 7th annual American Needs Farmers game, and Iowa Athletics has partnered with the Iowa Farm Bureau to announce that Chad Greenway will be this year's addition to the Wall of Honor. Greenway played at Iowa from 2002 to 2005 and with the Vikings until 2016. Iowa State got a commitment from 6'5", 2018 receiver Sean Shaw Jr. this afternoon. 24/7 Sports grades him as a 3-star and the 8th best prospect from the state of Oklahoma. You can catch the Iowa baseball team in an exhibition prior to the Iowa-Penn State nightcap on Saturday at Kinnick. They'll be hosting the Ontario Blue Jays beginning at 11 and they'll play until 4 o'clock. Admission's going to be free. After the show tonight on 1600 AM, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show, and on the North and South Gym FM frequencies, it'll be Monday Night Football with the Lions and Giants.
The last 5 texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line have been Lee Smith, Manny Trio, Frank DePino, Steve Trout, and Ron Say. And to that I say, how can you possibly forget about Gary Matthews? More of the Todd Bromwellkamp Show on the way. We'll talk Cubs with Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time, and now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes.